Healing Conversations offers you a quantum leap. Season 8 is Quantum Conversations, tapping you into infinite potential, infinite possibilities, infinite mastery, and infinite love. Enjoy Season 8 of Quantum Conversations to transform your world to co-create new earth from the heart. Expand into higher consciousness. Embrace your passion. Align with your authentic self. Step into your mastery, your sovereignty, your truth. Listen to these healing conversations with spiritual teachers, healers, and new paradigm thinkers who help you transform your world into the reality of your choice. This show is a call to awakening hearts and ascending masters. We welcome you to embrace your passion and share your service with the world. Enjoy these quantum conversations. Listen in online each week or download the conversations by owning this series. Scroll down on this page to learn more on how you can own Season 8, Quantum Conversations. Our program starts shortly. Welcome to another Quantum Conversation, brought to you by AcousticHealth.com. I'm Loren Gailey, and I invite you to sit back as we enter the quantum realm, that space of the greater part of you. It is your connection to infinite possibilities, infinite potential, and infinite mastery. So welcome to the quantum realm as we meet my next guest. In this quantum conversation, human mastery is our topic of discussion, and that's going to entail quantum multidimensional light body integration. And with us today is Michael Cavallaro, who is a spiritual teacher assisting humanity in understanding the truth of human mastery. Michael, welcome to this quantum conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
This is a fascinating topic, human mastery. When we say step into infinite mastery, what does that mean to you in a nutshell, your definition?
It means the integration of your divinity into your human experience. And being able to be, we will call it the master of your human experience through that integration.
So we're going to talk about this integration process, and also we are going to experience multidimensional frequencies as we allow this integration of soul and spirit to come into human experience. For those who are not familiar, we have some that are very familiar with being multidimensional, but some may not understand multidimensional frequencies.
Well, to understand the multidimensional frequencies, I guess simply say that the universe is filled with frequencies. They equate to different levels of existence or awareness or consciousness. They are fluctuating through our universe all the time, and it's now a time when we are tapping into those frequencies. For many people, it just looks like shifts in your everyday life, but those shifts are being motivated by these multidimensional frequencies.
And would you say they're higher vibrational? They're uplifting humanity as they go into the higher frequency levels?
Yes, they are higher in frequency. They are raising the density of this world into higher vibrational frequencies, directly related to what some people are calling light body. There's a lot of different wording or verbiage out there for this. But yes, the frequencies are higher. And because of that, they also are stimulating what we would call a lot of physical symptoms for people as they go through this process. As those frequencies hit your cells, they are actually changing and they are morphing into a higher vibrational frequency cellular system.
What you're saying is that even our cells are multidimensional.
Absolutely. Every part of your being is multidimensional. Your cells are actually a manifestation of your consciousness at some level. So as the frequencies shift, or your consciousness shift in frequencies, so your cells actually change as well.
This is very interesting. Let's talk then about the quantum field, because if that is happening on a cellular level, that is what quantum means, infinite possibility, and it really is outside of time and space.
Yes, it is. It is definitely outside of time and space. A simple way to relate it, it's what many people call the matrix of the planet Earth. Okay. It has a certain matrix to it. It isn't quite exactly like the movie, if anyone's seen the movie, but it's very similar. And the vibrational frequencies at that quantum level actually assist in the changes that are going on within that matrix. And so people are seeing a lot of things as a result, such as old systems and structures crumbling, a lot of exposure, a lot of revelations as to what's going on behind the scenes. All this is part of that quantum shift. And these vibrational frequencies are, should we say, breaking up the old patterns, and they're creating, in an oversimplified understanding, new patterns with higher frequencies, which those old outmoded ways that suppressed humanity or even suppressed your consciousness actually have to shift. And it doesn't have to come through a revolt or anything like that. It just happens naturally because the quantum field is changing everything and moving everything naturally in a natural process.
When you were speaking there about these multidimensional frequencies, you have helped explain these are the frequencies of this great shift, this galactic alignment that we are in. And so these multidimensional frequencies, as you were saying, they are breaking up the old patterns and creating new ones. I got the vision of cymatics, where the sand on the wax paper or the metal sheet changes into geometric forms, different forms, as the pitch changes. That is exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. And in some ways, there is actually developing what we will experience here in this dimension or at this level, that the geometries themselves will actually change. At some point, the geometries will go from what we used to see as sharp-edged geometries to rounded geometries, where everything is more fluid, more light rolling rather than hard angles or reflective angles.
Okay, you have just corroborated what another wayshower has mentioned about even the clouds in the sky. She has mentioned that you can tell that things are softer. Isn't that fascinating that this is all coming into our awareness, our understanding of it?
Yeah, I find it very cool that all the people that are in tune with this are starting to connect with the same basic information. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own little experience that's different. Everybody has their interpretation that's slightly different, but the essence is all pretty much the same, which is really beautiful. It goes to show that everything is starting to coagulate here finally. where after so much time of it being broken up and fragmented and seeming like we were getting nowhere, to now it's really starting to meld together.
Yes, we have heard from the Arcturians that New Earth is a frequency, and it is a higher frequency. It is one that does not allow or contain competition or judgment. These are topics we've been discussing lately, and it's interesting in our world. We're so programmed with these two notions. I know many of us are really wanting to step out of that vibration and make commitments to be united outside of competition.
Yes, I would agree. The new frequencies are putting us in a place where that can no longer exist. But it's going to happen more naturally than I believe some people expected.
Nice.
It will. You don't have to do anything special. It's
okay.
Just going to happen.
Okay.
You are on your journey. The changes are taking place. Just travel your journey, and that will bring about these changes. And yes, that competition, or anything limiting for that matter.
Yes.
Because judgment of all things is the most limiting thing we can do. Because in that judgment, you form a frequency pattern that sort of entraps you in a level of consciousness. Now, get it, these are metaphors I'm using, but it kind of traps you in a limited consciousness with any judgment you have, even down to the basics of rocks are hard and water is wet. Any judgment whatsoever limits your ability for your expansion. And as these new frequencies come in, you'll start to see your concepts of time, your concepts of reality will all start to shift, and it will happen naturally. At first, it will seem very strange, and it seems very odd to your typical human perceptions, but this is a natural process, what we're going through. And so those judgments, everything has to leave, if you will, because the vibrational frequency is just too high, and that type of consciousness just can't exist.
I hear a collective sigh of relief there, Michael, that this is happening naturally. We do tend to get all caught up on watching these patterns leave. What is most disconcerting when these patterns come up is that it is first our awareness of them that we probably feel bad or embarrassed and blame ourselves. But you have just helped us see this from another perspective, that we don't have to do anything, that awareness releases it, and we're eliminating judgment of ourselves too. I wanted to share a quick story, putting this into perspective of a real case experience. And personally, I experienced that when I went down to Tulum, Mexico. We were on a trip with some other women, and we were on the beautiful beach there. And right next to us, another eco hotel. And there were, we called them the naked hippie people. It was really funny, actually. But then I realized at the end of the trip, we had a ceremony where we put on paper what we wanted to release. Interesting enough, mine was competition and judgment. And then we had this beautiful, beautiful ceremony, which happened to be the best part of the entire week. And the people who performed the ceremony were the naked hippie people. And I realized, indeed, how we limit ourselves. Because if I had held on to that judgment and
yeah,
did not go to that ceremony, well, but there was nothing that I had to force. It was an awareness. Wow.
It was an awareness because typically our human perspective says, whoa, that's strange. What are we doing here? And there's that normal reaction, but that's part of our expansion and our growth too, is to actually have those experiences so that we can see where we limit ourselves, which it sounds like you've beautifully done.
I think that also illustrates what you said about happening naturally. Awareness, awareness, awareness. We were talking here about the shift in these frequencies, and you are here teaching human mastery and quantum multidimensional integration. Share with us your own awakening. Was it all throughout your life? Was it a cataclysmic moment, or was it over time?
My awakening began as to my memory somewhere around the age of six. And from that time on, I was in what I realize now was the discovery of the human condition and its energetic properties. At the time, I experienced it like everybody else, you know, people making you mad or disappointment, upsetment, dysfunctional parents, etc. And later, somewhere around the age of 17-ish, the awakening began to evolve on a larger scale. And since then, it's been pretty much constantly evolving. Now, when I began in the early 70s, there wasn't any talk of what's happening today. So that evolution was quite profound, and it was quite different. And there were very few of us who were actually out there at the time. So it was very difficult to find people who had any idea about what was going on. So for me, over time, this has been an evolution as I remember why I was here and what I came to bring. And this human mastery is a huge piece, because the human mastery part is actually your spirituality. And along the way, what I noticed was many people got confused, and they tried to, at the time we were doing a lot of meditations and people were trying to leave their body and they were trying to astral travel. And everybody was actually trying to disconnect from their human rather than integrate into it. And it always seemed sort of backwards to me. And so my journey has been, is how do you integrate this? And how do you bring it into a common sense, logical, reasonable, and rational teaching that people can understand and pull together? So it's taken me all over the world. I've learned with many other teachers at the time that were from everywhere. I studied with a Shaolin priest. I studied with people from Taiwan and all over the world. And it was just very interesting to see how everybody was approaching these changes. So in that awakening, what I was actually doing was reconnecting with my knowledge of all the ancient wisdoms of all the different cultures. And in most cases, as I realized over time, I was embodied in most of those cultures. And with those, many experiences with the earth, with holding inner earth, understanding the whole dynamic of the planet as well as humanity. So with that, I then began to start to actively work, probably by the 80s, really stepping out into bringing some of the teachings out. But it was still a lot of discovery. Because then, as the new changes started to happen, that changed a lot of the ancient wisdom into, we'll say, a new language and a new understanding with these new frequencies. And so as that has changed, the thing that started to shift for me by the 90s was that this really became a biological process. It was no longer just an external or a spiritual process. It was a fully integrated, full-blown biological integration of all of these new frequencies. And this continued. And as this went, it became more evident that, we'll say, many people needed to be able to hear this, so it had to be put into a common language. So I started to discover different processes that would allow lay people, as well as people who were a little bit more connected, start to hear the language and really begin to integrate this. Because what happened for me was that as I started to go through all these changes, my human was really struggling with physical ailments, with physical processes, understanding, emotional processes, and there was just for me this direction to find a way that this could be made more palpable for, or more palatable for the average person as they go through it. Because as I was going through it and spirit began to integrate, what was happening is my human was going through what many metaphoric deaths, and they were very difficult to understand. And so as this continued, then we stepped into not just that evolution, then we stepped into the really the beginning of the light body process, and now that is still in its evolution in the way that it's occurring. And we keep moving as this whole evolution goes. But, you know, in some ways, it's an evolution, but it's also a design at the same time. So in this, I have learned a lot about the energetic properties behind human behavior and understanding the patternings and giving people the tools so that they could actually make these shifts. Because in my life, trying to make everything practical and make my human life work, I had to find ways that would actually make everything functional while I was going through all these evolutions, because I've watched many people, their whole lives just kind of fall apart, or they struggle, or their human acts out, and they have really difficult human lives, and they couldn't hold their functionality together on the human world. So it became a real, we'll say, direction for me was, how do we make this very simple and yet be able to be in touch with all aspects of ourself and bring this into a functional human life where you can parent, where you can have partners, where you can have a career if that's what you choose, whatever direction you want to go, to be able to have both skills while you're doing this integration. So as I've evolved in that awakening, it just keeps blossoming into greater discoveries of, we'll say, my divine aspects that are integrating into my human experience. Bringing all the way to today, where really the lightening of the cells and the physical body is kinesthetically felt in my experience, as well as being able to see, feel, and understand the energetics of the functioning of the multidimensionality of this world in which we live.
Fascinating that when you say lightning, is it like lightning, thunder and lightning, or lightening?
Lightening, like getting lighter.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can feel that on a cellular level. I think we all can if we set our intention to that. So perhaps we could experience that later in the show. First, I want to go back to what you said about the divine aspects coming in to this physical body. That's really what's going on with the cells. And that's going to lead us back to this light body process, because you did say that the first experience, the first that you noticed, is those metaphoric deaths, a series of those, and then the light body process.
Okay, let's do the metaphoric deaths a little bit, because everybody will go through that to some degree, or we should say most people will, in that it just seems like the ending. And sometimes it's felt as doom. Sometimes it's felt as gloom. Sometimes you just don't understand. You can't make choices. Everything's kind of falling apart. And oftentimes you even have thoughts of death or dying. These are all very common, because actually what's happening is your human is disconnecting its patterning from what we'll call the collective matrix, if you will. And it feels like a death because you're disconnecting from the old consciousness and moving to your own divine connection. And so the human often misinterprets it as a death. And now the human, what I mean is your humanity, that human part of you that thinks, feels, has emotions, whereas your divine aspect certainly doesn't have that, but your human aspect may not be in connection with that. So as you grow and you expand your awareness, you start to become more aware of your divine and start to see the human part of you, which is just filled with patternings and programming that comes from many thousands of years here and the consciousness of your current culture. So as each one of those begins to crumble and you start to disconnect from those old ways or those old energetic fields, it feels like a death often. And it's best not to panic. It's best to just say, oh, I'm just going through the metaphoric death. And at the same time, physical stuff will kick up, so people will have physical symptoms, heart palpitations, back pain, headache, eye pains, inability to see, trouble breathing, chest pain. There's just so many, and it all depends on your particular growth and your particular patterning, what type of symptoms you'll go through, but a lot of them are very common. And so as not to panic while you're going through them, you understand that this is the human letting go. This is my metaphoric death, my transition, my activation. It can be described in multiple ways. And if you're at all concerned, well, of course, you take care of your physical body. You have it checked if necessary. But I can't tell you how many people that I see that go have their physical bodies checked, and they're always a clean bill of health. And so then they start to realize that this is an energetic transformation. It's just that the physical body is responding. And so that metaphoric death is really important for you to know that you will have many of those. It's quite common to have many of those metaphoric deaths. And just don't panic and just say, oh, I'm going through another transition.
And would you say it that once you go through that transition, that it's better, things are smoother because of these higher frequencies that are allowed to express?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say that. I would say there's a very simple process. Now, remember, everything that I say is metaphoric or just a way to explain it. But a simple way of understanding this is when the frequencies come in, so to speak, they kind of enter the cells, they enter your being, and these frequencies now are, in a way, downloading. And as they download, then they're activating aspects or parts within you, let's say. After that activation takes place, there is an integration and an assimilation process. And once you start to come out of that assimilation and you move in to the integration part, that's when things start to get smoother. But sometimes during the first wave and the assimilation integration, it can be a little difficult. It can be challenging in the body. It can be challenging with emotions, old thoughts, old memories. Many things that you thought you were finished with are being pushed up again. And this goes back to what we were talking about, where with the new earth frequencies, you can't take the old with you. And so everything kind of gets recycled until everything's clear, so to speak, and you're ready to step into those frequencies.
Yes, I know so many are. I know there's questions coming up that some have done it all. They meditate, they do all of this, but they cannot experience or they don't feel self-worth.
Yes, that's huge. It's part of the human programming. It's part of the collective programming. And it's part of your own journey. So self-worth, obviously, like has been stated, I'm sure, by many, that it comes from inside. And if you lack self-worth, then I would tell you in a very simplified form, it's simply programming. And if you begin to understand your programming, this is where the human mastery part comes in. You understand your programming on an energetic level, as well as a psychological level, as well as the way you personalize it level, when those understandings take place and a real connection in your heart occurs, those energies shift. And every time you think you got a level, whether you're doing all the right practices or not, you just need to know that if you ever think you're finished, just know that you're probably not. Because when you're finished, you don't think about being finished anymore. It's sort of like a little mind trick that the mind says, oh, yeah, we're done. We're complete. We did everything the right way. It's all in order. And that would be part of a programming. And so when you realize that you're even having those thoughts, you need to know, oh, I'm not done. Because if you're a complete and whole, you don't think about being complete and whole.
Yes.
But these are all common phases on the journey. So please, anyone listening, this is just, we'll say, common in the experience of this change.
You are speaking like those who are out there living this and doing this from these higher divine aspects, really bringing forth ancient wisdom it's so beautiful and refreshing. Would you consider yourself anchored in the 5D or higher?
If we had to give it a label, we would say higher.
I love that. Even the fact that we have to give it a label shows our humanness.
Yes. See, when you're there, there's no need for labels. They're irrelevant. It was like when we were doing this work all along, it was very difficult for me to name it because I constantly get, if you name it, you limit it.
Yeah.
So why name it? But the public can't reach it if it's not named, so you had to limit it so it had access. And it's how humans work. They have to put a name to it. But remember, when you put a name to something, you have judged it and you have put an energetic limitation on it. When we label things, we judge things. And believe me, everyone judges in so many ways they don't even realize are occurring.
Yes.
And they're as simple as, I don't like that color. Or, I don't like that person's hair. Or, I like those boots. So it doesn't have to be negative. Positive judgments are sometimes the tricky ones that people miss. Because a positive judgment is limiting also. And when you are doing positive and negative, because there's a lot of, we'll say, processes that we've seen over the journey here that like to do positive, negative, you have to understand everything is one. And to label something as negative or positive, or see it that way, is to limit yourself to polarity and a polarized experience of life, which is the complete opposite of unity. And then the little tricky one is many people say, I want that unity. And we would say the fact that you want unity speaks to the belief or the patterning that says there is not unity. Even that one statement, even though it's well-intended, professes polarity. Like we said a minute ago, when you are something, you don't seek it. You realize it. And that takes the limitations off. And the realization is not an intellectual realization. It is a heart experience. And now we're moving into the heart, so we're going to talk a little bit about the heart. In a simplified way that we explain the heart is you have two hearts. One heart is your human heart. It is the one that's tied to your mind and your emotions. This is the limited heart. It is where human love is felt. It is where human experiences reside in judgment and all of the emotions. There is what we call the inner heart or the divine heart. In the divine heart, there are not necessarily human emotions. There is divine love, which frequency-wise is completely different. And in that, it is like if you've ever had an intuitive moment or a moment of emergency where you didn't get into your emotions and you just knew what to do, well, that's where your divine heart is. It just knows what to do. And in the divine heart, when you are connected there or anchored there, there is no need for unity. There is no need for separation. There is just the experience of your allness in your human experience, which is a blending of all the realities or what we might call the divine human experience.
I know so many have just connected right into that space in their heart. That is so beautiful. When you say that there's no need for unity, it's because it's already there. There's no lack.
Yes. There is an experience of the awareness of being, that beingness, that when you're in the beingness of it, let's say, there's no need for you to desire it or even think about it because you just are it and it emanates from you. It's the same with love. When you love, you don't need to love or act. It resonates. It emanates from your being. And those around you feel the love in whatever it is you do. Even a child that you might be scolding will feel the love emanating from you, even though your words are correcting them. or just walking by people, or just a simple hello, people will feel that emanate from you. You don't need to be loving. You just are the love. And in that is what we would call the natural unity experience. But when you're there, it's not labeled.
When you're there, it's not labeled. Now, there are some who are saying, what does it mean to open the heart? Or some are sensing now that they have closed their heart down with judgment and all of this programming. Can you lead us on some way, some guidance, or if you've got a process or a way that we can experience ways to anchor and open this portal? I see it as a portal.
Yes, absolutely. We can do both. First, I want to explain it a little bit.
Okay.
And again, these are my metaphors that we use to assist people in understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So opening the heart. The problem with opening the heart is everyone was told that you were supposed to open your heart outward toward other people, other beings, nature, etc. No, that's opening it outward. And what you find when you open it outward, you open it to the matrix. And the matrix is designed to not be successfully loving. It is just the way the program is written. It's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just written that way. At least the old matrix. And so what happened is that people were trying to open their heart out to other people, and then they were being disappointed because that person wasn't loving the way they should, or they responded a way they didn't like, or they didn't receive what they wanted to receive. And these were all human limited desires based upon programming, childhood programming, other life experience programming. All that said, love someone else. Look at how many religions say love other people, take care of your brother. No, that isn't the purpose. It was a misunderstanding and a distortion. The truth is, and the way we see it, is that the heart opens inward. It opens toward you, into your divinity, and you connecting with your divine self. In that, there can be no disappointment, there can be no failure. It is opening inward. So don't be, our advice is, don't be trying to open outward, because you will always find a shortcoming there. Open your heart inward to your divine self. This is what we call service to self. We were so programmed on this planet to serve others, which kept you entrapped. It kept you limited. So if you go towards service to self, oftentimes externally it's seen as being selfish or uncooperative, or if you have a different opinion and you don't want to do what other people want you to do, you're seen as obstinate or difficult. But what we'll say to you is that your inner opening, that portal, that gateway inward, as that opens in service to self, you embody your divinity. And in doing so, you become the presence of love itself in a form. And that form is the radiant love that the world experiences simply through your existence. Not because of your behavior, not because of how nice you are or how kind you are, because sometimes love isn't kind. Sometimes love has to say no. But no is an inner kindness. It's not a meanness. But it can be interpreted that way because everyone is looking as a response from the outside world as to whether they have value, whether their love is enough. And we would say to you, your love will never be enough for a dysfunctional world that hasn't awakened. But if you open your heart inward to your own divinity, your own I Am presence, your own core light, whatever you would like to label it, you will find that love, and your self-worth and value will come through in new ways that maybe were unexpected. So the opening of the heart, as long as it's focused on the outside, will typically be focused on disappointing experiences at some point. Now, once you've opened and you've connected inward, then when you experience the external world, everything is seen and felt completely differently, and you walk the world in love. You walk the world as love. And you don't require love any longer because you are that love.
That is so beautiful. That is the roadmap. A quick clarification for those who may be confused. Often in spiritual teachings, we are also told to be in service. And so what you mean by service to self is not in the material world, greed and for your own good, but a master of the love that you are connected to from this inner heart.
Yes, absolutely. It is that connection to yourself. And when you're connected to yourself in that way, the greed, the thoughts of money or abundance, everything sort of dissipates. There's no need for it because everything you need just arrives. And if you want more, then you need to know that it's the mind. It's not the heart. Because the heart will always deliver everything you need. The mind will always question, do I have enough? And another little, I guess, marker that you could look at is that if your love is taking something from others, physically, materially, emotionally, energetically, then it isn't divine love. If it just is you being the love itself, that is service to self. And again, through that service to self, you have actually served the whole by embodying that love, where the whole world can experience the manifestation of that love in a form.
Yes. Be that love and love yourself and embody that love. When our hearts were heavy and we would ask how we could help change the world, and we were always told to go within, you have just explained it on a whole new level in a very different way. It's just great to hear it from this perspective. When you say our advice, or we would say to you, who are these beings?
We're often asked that, and we were going to say it is, we'll have to personalize this, and we'll say, it is all of myself at all levels.
Yes. Yes. Then, unity consciousness. Again, that's another issue that we need to go inward to this inner heart and bring that forth.
There's nothing to bring forth. There is the embodiment of your own union with your own divinity. That's all that's necessary. You don't need to serve. You don't need to teach. You don't need to bring out. You don't need to share. You just simply go within and find that self-unification, your own inner sovereignty. And in that place, you will embody the frequency that will emanate your service. But it's your service to self, again, that serves others. And there is no work necessary. There's nothing to do. That's not saying you can't help other people you know or friends or family or, you know, contribute to humanity. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that those are now choices, and those are external displays of choices. But the inner service and that connection is the unity. And there is nothing need be said. There is nothing need be done. And there is nothing need be presented. It is simply the experience and the emanation of you having mastered your own inner awakening.
Mastery of our own inner awakening. And it's wonderful. As we talked about the great shift, you are mentioning that these multidimensional frequencies are here. No one is going to do it for us. It is each our own journey. Just by listening to you speak, you have really helped us attain a great understanding of it.
Right. So let's move forward with a little experience here and take a couple of deep breaths. Deep, slow breaths. And another one. And now, tune into your heart center. And as you tune into your heart center, begin to feel what is there. Is it dense? Is it light? Is it fluid? Is it stagnant? Is it filled with fear or apprehension? Whatever it is, just allow it to be. Don't be afraid of it or excited by it. Just watch it. Observe it. Be the neutral observer of your process. And now we will call in some sparkling white light with silver flakes. And it will enter in through the top of the head, into the heart, and begin to swirl. And as that swirls, you'll see or feel those sparkling flakes, almost cleansing, purifying, relieving, and lightening that heart area. And as that occurs, allow those sparkling lights to move through the whole physical form. Fingers, toes, legs. And say to yourself, whatever no longer serves me on my journey, I purify, clarify, and release, transmute, and transform. Feel the tingling in your body, in your awakening. And now focus again on your heart center. And now we're going to speak to your divine self, your I Am Presence, your I Am That I Am. I open to receive my own divine nature, essence, and core light into my physical form and my human experience. Awaken me gradually in a way that my body may handle the transformation easily, comfortably. Awaken my awareness in a way that my human can experience this with understanding, centeredness, and clarity. As I now receive my own divine self and essence, I activate and awaken my core light. I receive and integrate these frequencies that I am ready for in my journey, in my own unique experience. As I travel the road differently than all others, I open my heart inward to my divine nature and receive in a way that is timely, that is appropriate for my own awakening, activation, and changes. Now feel your heart open inward from both the front and the back. And see or imagine a brilliant orb within your heart. Each of you will have your own colors, your own designs, your own feeling, for it is your unique journey. And now this orb begins to expand. And as it expands, it reaches the point where your physical form is encompassed by the orb of your own core light. Behold the presence of your love as you are in your own love. Know that you may carry this in your everyday life. And when you have forgotten, got caught up in your daily life, remember your orb, as this is your divine being integrated into the human experience. So be it.
So
blessings and love to you all. Be the love, my friends.
A beautiful. Deep. Go ahead.
Just going to say, take a deep breath. Exhale. And sense the orb with you for as long as you can maintain it. Thank you so very much.
Fascinating. Thank you for that beautiful experience.
Welcome. Thank you for allowing me to share that.
It is quite exquisite.
It's also a very simple thing that you can do to remind yourself of you. You can do it while you're driving. You can do it. Just try to remember to remain conscious, but as you get better at this, you can just be aware of your orb while you're driving, while you're walking, while you're interacting with others, and understand that it is your divine orb. It isn't, in the old days, there was the white light of protection, et cetera, et cetera. This is not for protection. This is the love, and in the love, no protection is necessary. Because all is love. And when you are there, all of those old polarity ways are no longer necessary.
It brings up a few more questions. First, we can talk about your special offer and the course that you've got. You have a course. It's Human Mastery. And this special offer includes section one of that very comprehensive course.
First section is just it is an introduction to the energetics of your human process. It goes over some old information or ancient information, and we'll say a little bit of a modern way. We'll talk a little bit about how you became who you are as the human. But it's also to understand that whatever you do when you're human actually will change your frequency. You, in some ways, we would say You don't need to go meditate on a mountaintop. If you do your inner work and you become aware of what is happening to you as the human, you will actually be working with all those same energies and all those same frequencies, which will raise your frequency naturally in an interactive way with your human experience. So it will change the way you see your family, which will change the way that you saw a lot of your beliefs, the way that you perceive the world, and then the responses that you make to the world. So that first section will bring up a lot of that. It will go over what I like to call human fundamentals, what you are, what you are not. We talk a little bit about energetic sensitivity, some parts about relationships and self-fulfillment. So it sets the stages. This is actually a 10-part course. And within some of the rest of the course, we will go over things like what I call energetic fields of influence. They talk about you being energetically sensitive, understanding it. In some parts, even a little bit about why ADHD. In some other parts, we talk about sensuality versus sexuality, understanding those differences, those energetic differences, not just the physical part. We go over a little bit more detail on your opening your heart, talk about intimate relationships and how to make your life flow as a human while you're going through this great transformation. So that would be the first section in that, within that. And then we do have in the offer, I'm offering the audio book of the 55 concepts. And the 55 concepts came about over these 40 years of interacting with people, seeing what would be practical, functional tools to move you toward your awakening. And some of them sound very familiar. Some of them are phrased a little different than what you might have heard before, but they have so much more, so much deeper meaning to them if you know how to work with them. Now, with both of those, we do have a 55 concepts classes occasionally, and again, that continuing human mastery course, which is 10 full parts.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. We invite people to check out the special offer. Mastery comes from embodying divinity, and you are showing us how to do that. After we move through the series of metaphoric deaths, then you mentioned this light body process. And we know we've done a lot of work with light body and activating light body, but please explain more from your perspective.
The light body process is unique unto each individual, although there are some commonalities. This goes through, we'll say, physical changes, and in the sense that as your body lightens, your organs change, your blood changes, your blood chemistry changes, the gases your body transforms or uses changes. And in all that, there's just really what we will call discombobulating effects. It sort of makes you feel weird. Sometimes you're very disconnected, disassociated with the world. These are all part of the process. So for those of you who are feeling very disconnected from the world or your partners or your children or even the planet, period, these are common signs. It will pass and it will change. But what actually happens in some of this process is that the neural netting in the brain actually changes. And old neural netting that is associated with the old patterning or the old earth energy actually dies off, if you will. And in that dying off, there's changes. And a lot of times in these changes, you'll feel a little glum. Maybe some people I've heard that have called, they've said that they're a little depressed or they're feeling down. These are common signs that there are what we'll call die-off. In a way, it's a detox of the old frequencies and all of the chemistries in the body that are associated with the old chemistries. And so as you go through this process, there is this sort of detox, and that repeats itself as you elevate. But each time you get a little bit sturdier on your feet, things become a little bit more familiar, and it starts to move. Now, we're still in the process of this. It's going to go on for some time, and there's different trails of people doing it. So there are what some people have referred to as first waivers. Well, the first waivers are deep into it, if not graduating to the next, because even at some level, the light body is a transitional body to the next journey. And so all of these signs and symptoms, and a lot of times you'll run into places during this change of questioning everything. What am I doing here? Why am I with the partner with them I'm with? What do I want to do with my life? These are all very normal. They are points of just reflection as you're transitioning to make sure that you're finished with the old. It also can be experienced in a very physical sense, that you'll feel your body actually feel lighter as you walk. You'll feel your legs are lighter, your limbs are lighter. That's usually where it begins. And there's just so much to this. And I'll say that as far as I know, half of what we're going to experience and are experiencing isn't even known. It's new yet. And what is it like to be in the light body fully? What is that experience like? Again, something new. So you have to be open to adventure, and you have to be open to exploring what it feels like, what it is like. The little catches in this transformation is you have to watch out for your human judgments, because in your, quote, downtime, you'll find that you'll make some judgments, or your deepest, darkest fears will come up, like, oh, my relationship's going to end, or I'm going to lose my job, or my children are in a terrible space. And these are just what I will call natural mind panics as the old neural netting is dying off. Don't panic. If you can remember anything, don't panic. And don't follow those thoughts. Just allow them to be.
Great wisdom. It brings up a couple more questions. Recently, personally even, feeling dizziness like I've never felt it before, lasted for about half a day. And then the next day, it was a ringing in the ears. And I've had that pretty much since the mid-90s. Are these those energetic shifts that you're talking about?
Yes. These are those. These are those. Sometimes those shifts, it's when, you know, the feeling like it needs to pop. It's almost like your body is ready for that change, and you're feeling what we'll call the energetic hindrances. And so you have those sounds. You have sound. You have light experiences. I've had many people report that they get like a shooting in some entrance of the body. Some people, it's been in their toes, in their temples, and it's just like this bolt of energy just shoots right through them, and it startles them.
Yes.
So these are all these frequency upgrades. And again, everybody experiences them slightly differently based upon your patterning, your programming, your soul memory. All of those things make yours a very unique journey, although there are quite a lot of similar symptoms, if you call them that.
This question may be a bit off the mark, but it applies to living in this current world, the matrix, when we change those beliefs and those thoughts, yet we still need to pay our taxes here in the United States. We still have the IRS. Do we still just play that game, or do we put our consciousness in seeing it dissolve, or when we give our money, should we even rise above that in a different perspective?
Well, we'll say you can play any way you would like to play. And then we'll also say that for those of you who feel like it's important to focus on the dissolution of it, fine. But also understand that with a dissolution comes some extra rattling. There is a natural process occurring. I don't know if it's always necessary to interfere with the natural process.
Okay.
It is our opinion that if you just do your own journey, the process will occur on its own, and we don't need to put our hands in it.
Go ahead.
As far as the IRS goes and paying your taxes, all those things, yes, you do everything normal. You behave like a normal human being. Imagine it. You're on Earth. You're a visitor. You've come. You understand their rules, and you play the rules as long as they last. You evolve your consciousness, and your reality will change, even if that one stays the same.
Now, in dreams, the dream space these days, that's very interesting. This is a whole nother show. However, what would you say about some of the dream states lately?
Again, individual for everybody. Some people are very busy. They're activating. They're actually learning in other places, so to speak. And so in that dream reality, there's a lot of metaphors for your own journey. Recognize that in a lot of the dreams that you might have, they're all about you. If you can interpret it about your own enlightenment, your own male and female aspects, your own inner journey, your own integration, rather than project it onto your world and try to understand it here, would be helpful. Some people are very active in the dream state, I've found, and other people are so far removed from this dimension that they have no dreams.
Mm.
So if you're not dreaming, don't worry about it. You're still busy.
I know a couple people who have no dreams, and yes, that does make sense that they're off. Is that meaning that in a consciousness, when they are in that sleep state, that their consciousness is off somewhere else doing something else, work?
Yes. Yep. They're keeping their toe in the pool over here while they're over doing something else.
Okay. Wonderful. So the ancient information that you brought forth and you traveled the world, it's very interesting. I spent some time in Taiwan as well, and I see a connection. And you had remembered even past lives in some of these places that you went around the world. You studied with the Shaolin masters. When we learn about the masters, the great teachers of the ages, and some of the abilities that they could achieve with manifesting food for many people, or even teleporting or bilocating. Do you have any personal experience, or have you heard teachings or knowledge of this?
There are memories of times and existences, but really, some of that is for me personally is irrelevant. It's my experience now. But as far as seeing or things, I was studying with a Shaolin master that was actually in a temple, and his father was the head of the temple. Did actually witness some of his doings, so to speak, and it was quite fascinating. He used to make a joke. He said that he could stand on two fingers upside down.
Mm.
And he used to say, yeah, but I'm not so good. And I'd say, well, why? He said, because my father used to stand on one.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. He had pictures of that. He had pictures dating back to the late 1800s that were the masters that his father studied with. And in a lot of their, we'll say, unusual positions. And in his case, his father was, he left the form on a movie set. He was very aged, and I think he was in his late 80s, and he was sitting meditating because he was an advisor or something, and he left the form, and nobody even knew he left, and he had sat there for like 6 or 8 hours, and nobody knew he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't surprised because he said they used to do that in the temples, and they actually went to the caves. And his one experience was he was meditating in a cave, and he had a a tiger come by the cave, and he sat with the tiger for I forget how long, he said. And he said, we used to have that communication all the time, and it was very common for those of us that were studying there. But he also did say it wasn't fun, and it was a lot of work all the time. And so he was completely dedicated to those type of experiences. And for me in this lifetime, I've done things like that, and I don't know that I want to do them again. I want to play a little more this time.
You are reminding so many listening of this past time in their own lives, but here we are in the now, and we too are thankful that we can be a little bit more fun and playful. You also mentioned Inner Earth in your studies of being in Taiwan and your teaching with the masters in the Far East. The temples, are they covering entrances to Inner Earth, or Inner Earth is a dimension?
Yeah, for me, it's a dimension. I'm sure that there are entrances someplace, but for me, it's dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And that it can be traveled from anywhere. You don't have to be in any particular doorway, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that comes from having a relationship with the inner earth beings or cultures, and there's many. But if your, we'll say, essence or your divine self has a connection with that, then you're known, and you can enter anywhere at any time. So it doesn't matter where your location is.
And now going off planet, Venus and Saturn, the rings around Saturn. This is an interesting point, and it gets a little 3D or probably part of our matrix. And I think one of the things that is coming out for people to become aware of, which will lead to their spiritual remembrance, is the so-called secret space program, where in our galaxy, you've got the corporate world that's already gone off planet above the military, above the governments, above the CIA. And there are certain places within the universe, the rings of Saturn and Venus, that they are not allowed or they cannot get access to. And so as we ponder this, the story that's coming in the so-called disclosure, that's fascinating that those areas are not reachable by people in this program. And that's right. Because of a vibration. Is this correct?
Yes, it's because of their vibration. Again, it's like the new earth energies. You can't bring the old into certain places. Those denser vibrational frequencies just can't integrate or interface there. You know, it's like trying to have a whale dance in the desert. It's just not going to happen. The whale's going to die. It needs water. It needs that sustenance of the waters. It isn't going to make it on the desert. Those frequencies don't match. So they can't get there. Though they think they can, but they can't. They will just not be able to get there.
But we can, through opening to our heart, the orb that is our heart.
Yes, by raising your frequencies, you will have access to those things and beyond. Basically boils down to a frequency matter. I know it's oversimplified, but it boils down to a frequency matter. If your frequency doesn't match, it's just not going to happen. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much money you spend, it doesn't matter. So for us, raise your frequencies and you will have access to all things in that frequency. And as you move up your frequency, then you have access to all of those things. So as some people like to speak of dimensions, so if you want to go to 5D, well, then you have everything to access there. But to move to 6D, you have to change your frequency again. And the beauty is that the higher you elevate the frequency, you have access to everything in a lower frequency, so to speak. And I sometimes have trouble with the words higher and lower because people connotate them as good and bad and better and worse, and they're not. They're just different. It's not better to be 5D than it is to be 3D. It's just different. It's a different experience. That's why you came. You came to have that unique experience that you couldn't get anywhere else. It's like going to a theme park. You go there to ride certain rides that aren't available in your town. So you go. It's an adventure. Not one is better, not one is worse. They're just different. But as you raise your frequencies, and let's say you reach eighth dimension, well, you have access to all the dimensions below should you decide to go there. But from three, you don't have access to the higher ones because your frequency just can't integrate or interface with those higher frequencies. So therefore, it's like a ceiling, we'll call it. I know this is very simplified, but it's kind of the essence of it.
And so I know I'm hearing some people say, how do I change my frequency? I know it's as simple as a thought, but really, that's what we're talking about here.
Yes. The simplicity of how do you change your frequency? You change your consciousness. You shift your consciousness in whatever way works for you. There is no one way. There is no special way. There is no way that's better than the other or worse than the other or faster than the other. They're just different. And so whatever way shifts your consciousness, in the simplified version that I do, is that if you just simply shift your human mastery from just being a human to mastering your human, your frequency and your consciousness automatically shift. It just is natural. It's not special. It's not hard. But you do have to face yourself, and that's where people get stuck. To shift your consciousness, you have to face your own programming, your own limitations, your own aspects that you've abandoned, your own male and female aspect of self, your divine female and aspect of self. And all of these things have to be united and, we'll say, integrated into one love within yourself. And at that point, your consciousness shifts. And for when it happens naturally, it just kind of happens like every day. It's not like, oh, bang, I just got this big enlightenment, because sometimes an instant enlightenment or an instant shift can be debilitating to your human experience. So sometimes with people that I've interacted with, I would say, well, watch what you ask for, because if you want that instant bang, everything might crumble that you do like to do. So you want to be able to integrate and assimilate this in a way that you can move and maintain the physical form, because too much frequency in a physical form that's not ready will cause the form to be dropped. And it's not necessary.
Mm.
So play nicely, mm-hmm. Play with fun, play lightheartedly, and look at self. All that will change your consciousness and shift your frequency.
Yes, beautiful. Changing our consciousness and changing this frequency does bring in so much more. When we are able to live in that way, we are provided for. It's quite fun. So talk a little bit then about the energetics of working with money.
Well, it's funny because money is a belief system, and it's a value system. And if you're looking to money, and we have a little different perspective on abundance. Abundance has nothing to do with money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're seeking money or you're playing with money, then you're playing with a belief system. If you're playing with a belief system, then it's limited. If it's limited, there are certain rules that you can only do in the money system. If you step into your consciousness, connect with your divinity, then money simply appears to be something you use here, but really is something you're very little interested in. And whatever's necessary for you or whatever you wish to create now is much easier to create, because what happens as a conscious creator, you are at a vibrational frequency that the universe, if you will, or all of divinity is glad to pass to you the frequencies you're looking for. You don't have to go after money. That's, again, it's an old program. So It's very deeply embedded for many thousands of years here. So it is not necessary, and yet it's necessary to live in our practical world. But interacting with money is, our opinion is that you shouldn't interact with money. You should use it from your energetic perspective and allow it to be your tool and not something that you really have to interact with as part of your belief system, although it is a practical thing that you use in your daily life.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Yes, it does, because the way we see energy, we have to shift that. We have to perhaps see where it's going into assisting others in a flow of commerce. We can't just cling to it. We let it go. And so, again, these are all experiences that allow us to see the programming that we're under.
Right. That's very important, because that programming with the money part is usually polar. So one is, it gives me my worth or value, or tells me who I am, and the other tells me how worthless I am or unsuccessful I am. And as long as you're tied into that belief system, that is also tied into an inner belief system about yourself, which speaks to you not being connected to your divine heart.
Beautiful. I just love what you said there, too, that we are integrating this into one love. It's awesome. So, Michael Cavallaro, as we say goodbye today, would you like to share any last comments for our listeners?
Please be patient with yourself on this journey. Try not to panic when the changes occur. Try not to judge the changes when they occur. Receive as much as you can and open your heart inward. Allow yourself to become the love rather than be loving.
Become the love. Yes. Beautiful words. And so one last question. When these great changes are coming, again, there's nothing to fear, but it is triggers to cause us to go inward more. Is there any timeline? Some have even said the sun may change in the next few years.
Yeah, there's infinite potentials here. And depending on the reality you choose to live in, you will have that experience. Can I give you a timeline? I can't. I don't do timelines, mostly, because, again, timelines are limiting.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want my reality to be unlimited, I prefer not to lock into timelines. Although, that said, you can expect certainly in the next few years still continued crumblings, exposures of everything from everything that was old structure to everything that was old structure within you. And as far as every individual, it's going to be unique unto you, because some people are just stepping onto their journey. Some people are in the middle of their journey. Some people are in all different places. So no one will be traveling exactly where you're at. So your timeline is your timeline, and your timeline is your reality.
Mm.
And at some point, you can, in a way, collapse all your timelines into one experience and live in the now. And then there are no more timelines. There's only your reality.
That's powerful. And I felt that in my head just now.
That's great.
Oh, what a great way to end this show. Thank you so much, Michael Cavallaro, and your special offer is wonderful. A great way for people to really anchor in to these teachings and really anchor in the heart. And when we are in this space that you assist us in getting to and opening up and expanding, then new solutions come, and that is the new earth that we are all birthing in these now moments. Thank you, thank you,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I just say one more thing for anybody who is a parent or has children?
Mm-hmm.
Please take a look at my parents' book, because it's so about opening your heart so that your children can see the model.
You can
activate themselves and yourself. It's just, there's so much love in it and so much for you to gain, and even for you to understand your own parents as yourself.
Yes, and thank you for that. Change your mind, not your child. That's part of your special offer. And, you know, that's really amazing because even with my own son, who's a teenager now, a couple of times I had to just look at, wow, we really are just reliving the programming. We're just reinforcing it. So
yes,
that book will
help. We could do a whole show on just the parenting,
yes,
new children, and versus where we were as children. It's just so much.
You know, the new kids, they're not even watching TV.
Yeah.
Which, that's, yeah, a really good thing.
Yeah, they have a whole different wiring, so it's fascinating.
Well, thank you, Michael, for this time today. It's been my pleasure. This has been very heart-opening and just a really great perspective. And I thank you so much for that. We'll see you again here on Quantum Conversations.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
And I want to thank you, too, for listening. And I invite you to join in this cosmic dance of our collective energy, integrating what we've learned in today's episode. We will do this while we hold our vision for New Earth and that which we want to draw in and create in our reality. So you can move your feet, you can move your hands, you can move your body, or you can turn this off and listen to something that soothes your heart. But join us as we dance our way to the cosmic heart.
Getting louder and louder. Baby, you're like lightning in a bottle.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for dancing with us in our collective intentions as they go across the universe to the cosmic heart. I'd like to thank my wonderful team at AcousticHealth.com, Heidi, Tony, Tom, Pam, Suzanne, and Garner, who assist with the production of Quantum Conversations, online healing retreats, and more. And thank you, too, for listening. If you've enjoyed this program, please share it with your friends and loved ones. And we thank you for shining your magnificent light and adding it to the world. This is when we love ourselves like no one else can. We leave you now with music from the universe. Music literally created by the universe, as musical notes were assigned to mathematical equations. The result is this beautiful music, available at AcousticHealth.com. Namaste. Thank you.